Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
So much to catch up on this week. All sorts of reports about Meghan's behind-the-scenes antics. We're going to discuss Hurricane Meghan, I think is how it was deemed in the Daily Mail over the weekend. Oh, and everyone's favorite new character, Melissa, who we were all introduced to last week, the one name only. It sounds like she's like a pop star or something, like Ally in A Star is Born.
She should be. I would buy concert
Melissa
tickets.
Should release a pop single, but Melissa, the former, emphasis on the word former, personal assistant to Meghan Markle. We have more intrigue, which I'm excited to hear about. Also, a royal we don't talk about very often, but who kind of decided to get up to all sorts of fun things this week. And we have no choice but to discuss Princess Beatrice. Welcome to the stage.
I know. I've been wondering what she's been up to ever since that immortal Great Gatsby reading. And now we know she's been up to a lot.
She has on a really big stage. And I'm glad to see that she is using it to do all sorts of things, including, well, actually, I don't want to spoil it. We'll get to it. Let's start with Meghan, though, as ever. Julie, I don't even like, there's so much to get into. I'm very excited.
A very quick recap. So somewhat surprisingly, one of Meghan's aides named Melissa departed the palace, and it was unusual for a royal kind of dismissal because the palace released this unprecedented glowing recommendation citing how wonderful her contributions had been throughout her tenure there, wishing her the very best of luck. It was the kind of recommendation letter Josh and I would have paid hundreds of dollars for. Something smelled, there was something amiss about it all. Why did the palace owe her such a glowing recommendation letter?
How has the Daily Mail or someone not like found Melissa yet? I just feel like in all these cases, whenever there's been any sort of scandal, I feel like you always end up usually like, I'm thinking of like the Ben Affleck nanny or like people like that. It's like you always end up like kind of, they figure people like you. I don't know. I feel like there's no one the tabloids can't identify. And the fact that no one has even figured out what this woman's like, I mean, I guess it's good they're protecting her privacy, but it's just kind of crazy.
If Crazy Days and Nights is to be believed, it sounds like the palace wrote her a check large enough that Melissa does not need to be found. Like, she just purchased herself an island.
And you're right, so she probably can't because of some NDA situation. Okay, good call.
Melissa just grows in her heroism each week.
I want like a Lifetime movie just about Melissa.
And we should note also that all of these reports are coming out as Prince Charles is kind of celebrating his 70th birthday. So I wonder what he feels about this.
We talked about this last week a little, but like there's something crazy about how all of a sudden all this stuff is coming out. It was almost as if like a bottle was opened at the Daily Mail factory and they were like we're just going to like get all these stories going off the printing press that they've been like waiting to run for 6 months, that for whatever reason they wanted to wait 6 months and now it's like fair game or something.
One of our Instagram followers suggested in her fantasy fiction version that this is all Kate's payback.
I mean, who knows? But it's someone's, it seems like someone's payback, at least from like the media standpoint here.
Daily Mail published a new takedown on Hurricane Meghan. I mean, we say takedown, I say takedown. This could also just make her even more kind of Miranda Priestly like.
The way that like, the headline was framed, I thought it was going to be like she has like a croquet mallet that she's like taking to the Queen's favorite like bust, like in the like dining hall or something. Like, I don't know. I just was like, I was thinking how like it was going to be the most wild accusations. And then like kind of the most intense it gets is saying that like she sends all these text messages in the morning.
Like 5 a.m. Yes.
Which, like, is annoying. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like when I wake up and someone's, like, already sent me, like, 8 texts, I feel like Julie has to deal with that with me because of the time difference. Like, I feel like I'm Hurricane Josh to Julie because, like, when you wake up, I feel like I've sent you, like, 80 texts already.
But they're not demands. They're the
they're
most
not
amazing.
Demands, they're not demands. Can you imagine? Okay, so anyways, that's, like, the kind of crux of at least, like, the first section of this report. The report is, like, I guess tied to her 6 months mark in the position. It's been 6 months since the wedding, right? Isn't that why they're writing this stuff? The Daily Mail is always unafraid to go against the grain, let's put it that way. So they basically said that she's determined to do things her way. From the moment she bounces out of bed at 5 a.m., she has proved to be less of a breath of fresh air and more of a whirlwind. And they're really going for this like storm metaphor. In fact, Hurricane Megan is ripping up the rule books on everything from fashion to friendships, diplomacy to the etiquette of car doors. They're really like bringing everything into this. The Duchess shuts her own. Here we explore a few of the changes she has brought to the House of Windsor. Julie, you want to discuss the royal fashion rules?
Yes, it's so good. The Queen is said to have expressed surprise that Meghan, a divorcee, wore such a quite white dress for her wedding, an elegant boat-necked creation from fashion house Givenchy. But then the future Duchess of Sussex was always going to do it her own way. It's a boldness that has led to unease among some courtiers. Meghan is being told she needs to start dressing less like a Hollywood star and more like a royal, one source from a fashion team which was visited. What? The source is from a fashion team that has visited Kensington Palace. First of all, you know how recently HBO or Showtime, they published some docuseries about the New York Times journalism team that like got into Trump's finances and just tracked that for a year. I would watch a premium cable special on the coming together of one of these Daily Mail royal articles. Wouldn't you love to see that? Just like the editor who has to read this line by line.
And I'm imagining like a giant like whiteboard where they kind of write out, because like these things are always broken down by headers, you know, and like I kind of imagine them write like the text messages, the fashion, and then they kind of like separate out all the different kind of aspects they're gonna dial in on, and then they send like three reporters to each kind of like topic. E should like green light that, or Lifetime or something. I feel like that would be like a slam dunk. We should write that show. Why are we waiting? I think a fictionalized version of it would be the way to go. Dressing less like the Hollywood star, more like the royal. I feel like whatever source they got, who like wouldn't name themselves for this, I feel like that doesn't feel to me. I feel like they were stretching on that quote.
Stretching on this quote. I love all these catty comments that I feel like the Queen definitely didn't make. Like maybe Kate or Pippa did.
Yeah, like whoever's feeding this, and they're kind of just like attributing this stuff to the Queen. Like it was like last week, the whole thing with the veil, and now we have that. Like, she didn't think she was going to wear such a white dress. Like, what, because she thinks she was going to wear, like, a, like, off turquoise dress? Like, what was she going to do?
Right. She couldn't have won in this scenario either. Like, if she had worn that turquoise dress, they would have blamed her for dressing like a Hollywood star.
Yeah, like, oh, she's trying to be so edgy and, like, do something that's going to draw all this attention. I just think this is, like, where you really know that the Daily Mail had to stretch and they were at this, like, brainstorm meeting for this piece, because it was, like, oh, we're going to like go back to the Hollywood star well, and we're going to talk about how the Queen thought she shouldn't have worn such a white dress. The Queen's all about tradition. I guess the only thing I ever do feel like is there's that one report that you see, I think it was in this too. Oh yeah, about like how they went to that joint appearance and the Queen was wearing a hat. But then when they asked, I guess like the Queen's staff told Meghan's staff like, oh, like the Queen's gonna be wearing a hat, which is like a sub, like a signal for that Meghan should, and then she didn't. Like I sort of, like stuff like that I can sort of believe, but like not that the dress wasn't white. And then this, okay, so the next part of this is about, we already alluded to, the texting. I love the beginning of this section. 6 or 7 a day. That's the number of texts the new Duchess of Sussex sends to palace aides with ideas and requests. She's an early riser, up at 5 a.m. rain or shine. I believe that. I feel like that seems right to me with Meghan. And it is said that palace staff has never experienced anything remotely like Meghan's formidable work ethic, matched only by the incessant stream of ideas about how to shape her role. Is she sending all these ideas via text? I'm like a little confused. Quite aside from her publicized engagements, Meghan has been conducting a series of undercover missions to meet the British people, particularly those associated with good causes. Julie, I'm interested for your take as a West Coaster on this next part. Well-meaning as she is, her particular brand of up-and-at-em West Coast energy is an uncomfortable fit with the more formal ethos of some palace staff.
I think as Josh looks at me right now, he can tell that I do not ascribe to the full Meghan Markle up-and-at-em life, whatever, mantra.
The West Coast has up-and-at-em West Coast energy. I thought this was like a misread by the Daily Mail. I feel like if anyone in the U.S. has an up-and-at-em energy, it's an East Coast.
Exactly, exactly. And also, they're framing this as though, this section at least, as though she's this horrible hurricane, but this sounds like she just is very ambitious.
The thing I believe, though, is that if we're taking the texting and like whatever, the fact that she's like excited about this role thing to be true, which like I say, like it probably is and it should be, like she's excited to do all these things, as we know from the cookbook and whatever, it does feel very different though than the royal agenda of the rest of the royals. So I do believe that there's some like, oh whoa, like this is a whole new ball game,
right? But I'm just kind of wondering about the people who work at the palace, just because Josh and I have worked for some real tyrants in our days. So is the difference here that just Americans are used to being treated worse or having like just horrific bosses? I don't know. I would watch a reality show where these palace aides are flown to LA and have to work at like CAA as a second assistant.
I feel like these palace aides, I'm getting the sense like come like they're portraying in here like they get in at like 10:30, like maybe leave at like a cool 4 p.m. and then Meghan sending a text at like 4:59 and they're like ready to like head out to like, you know what I mean? I feel like that's maybe what's going on, and they're all bristling because they're just so not used to it.
Right. Something doesn't quite line up here.
Oh, sorry. And there was like another little thing here. Meghan has joined the royal family at a time when several aides have moved on, including senior communications secretary Katrina McKeever, a point of liaison for Meghan's family.
Does she have the story to tell or what?
Katrina McKeever. Oh my God. Who quietly left the Kensington Palace press office in September. Yeah, that story got no attention compared to this Melissa situation. I didn't know someone like this Katrina left. In April, it was announced that Edward Lane Fox, Harry's right-hand man for the past 5 years, would be leaving earlier than many expected.
Well, this would be a good time to get into the anonymous tip we received, who has intel from someone inside the palace. She did not want us to use her name, but she said, I heard that the problem with Meghan and the assistants / palace aides isn't that she's exactly a diva. She's not rude or over the top, but rather she just treats everyone around her like they're there just for her needs. It's subtle but constant, assistants and staff. It's not the British way, and that cultural difference is causing friction. Apparently, after the wedding, the Palestinians saw a shift with the amount she's doing this, making assistants who had previously been getting along okay with the couple and blaming it on the wedding stress, starting to realize that it's the normal. So people thought that maybe it was just the wedding frenzy, and now the fact that it's still happening is cause for concern. I guess I've never heard of this cultural difference, but I guess I can understand it.
If there's any grain of truth to any of all this stuff we've been discussing, it comes from the fact that it's like this is just not how the palace staff has usually operated. Like Kate is not sending like 8 texts in the morning, and like William and Harry just go to their things, and it's kind of like, you know.
Is it bad that there's part of me that kind of respects the fact that like Kate does not care about these people's like personal lives, so isn't even gonna ask in the first place?
Well, I mean, it reminds me too of like, I feel like maybe this is a universal thing a little bit, but like when you've been in a, let's say, a job for a while, and like a new person comes in and kind of does something in just like such a different way than like everyone else has, and everyone's sort of just like, wait, what's going on here? But then usually I feel like what ends up happening is the new person adjusts to the vibe of the office. Or they don't. but I feel like maybe this is the kind of thing where it's just she's used to, you know, she's has all these ideas. She's, you know, really accomplished. She used to do like all these like side jobs in addition to her normal job. She, you know.
It is bizarre just because there have been reports about how Charles is so pampered and likes to have even an aide pour or push out his toothpaste on his toothbrush. So why is Megan getting all this flack?
Megan also strikes me as someone who doesn't like downtime. Like, I feel like when she was, like, doing the TIG, that was, like, because she didn't want to have any downtime, you know? I don't see her as the type to, like, just sit down and watch, like, some Netflix. I kind of feel like the palace staff is probably used to more of the vibe of, you know, people who just would rather chill and they do the events when they have to do the events.
I feel like you would be so good. Like, a police department needs to bring you in as some sort of personality profiler, because I feel like you can get just such a good sense based on their habits. You just have a nose, you know, immediately. Another woman brought up at the end of this Daily Mail, sorry, I'm kind of jumping around. It was kind of speaking about Meghan's friend group, and they mention Lindsay Roth, one of Meghan's oldest friends since the pair met in a literature class at Northwestern University. She's been one of her closest allies and has recently been seen in the Kensington area. She's an author, she's 36, and she based a character in her 2015 novel, What Pretty Girls Are Made Of, on Megan.
I have another fun fact about her.
Please.
She wrote a book. It may have been even that book. And she sent it to Kate Middleton in like 2015 because she was a huge fan of Kate Middleton. And Kate, the palace, like, wrote, you know, those like form, kind of like pro forma notes you get from the palace that are like thank yous. She got one of those from like the office of the Duchess of Cambridge and like put it on her Instagram, like how like it was like a life goal, like an amazing like life achievement that like Kate had like gotten a copy of her book and written her back. And then a few short years later, she was sitting in the same room as Kate for Meghan's wedding.
Wow.
Yeah, a little known factoid. But yeah, Lindsay, she was spotted in London. I feel like, the, as we mentioned before, that whoever was like the team putting together this Daily Mail quote-unquote expose, like, why is that so like shocking? Do you know what I mean? They're just like, I guess they're like, her friend is in town. But I do kind of love that this friend was like so in on Kate and then like probably was like, you know, loved Kate the way anyone loves Kate. And then it was sort of, no, I don't know. Like, does she hang out with Kate when she visits Megan? Does she play it cool? You know, does she bring up the book? If anyone has read the book, What Pretty Girls Are Made Of, and can let us know, I want to know about this character based on Megan.
I think I'm putting this down as my reading list assignment for the holiday.
Yeah.
Josh, what did you think of Charles's 70th birthday? All the photos.
I was like kind of surprised at how much like the 70th birthday press operation was so extensive and like pronounced. And I knew it was coming, but he appeared on the European version of Vanity Fair this month on the cover. He, you know, obviously there was like that documentary, which we talked a little bit about. The new book about him, you know, I just feel like there was a lot of information and sort of, and then all the photos, obviously, the party, like it was more than you get for most of these, a 70th birthday is obviously, you know, it's the impetus for a celebration, but it just was surprising to me how much there was. And it makes me think that they're really trying to prime everyone for the idea that he's going to be king presumably soon, right? Like, I feel like it seems like a very coordinated, almost like PR push that you would see for like an actor campaigning for an Oscar or something. But like, and in this case, it's almost like, oh, they're really going hard to make everyone like feel really good about him. And bringing out Prince Louis for all these photos, I feel like we hadn't really seen much of him. Then they, you know, really brought out all the guns, because it was like the like George, Charlotte, Louis, Megan, like the party. I don't know, just it was a lot.
I know, and published those outtakes. It was a lot. That's very good. I wasn't thinking of all the optics, how right we're essentially being groomed to think this guy is a big deal.
Yeah. And I feel like Megan and Kate, this is like not really related, but like the 70th birthday was obviously this huge occasion, and we only got the glimpse of like what they were wearing, because you only got the front seat of the car photographed by the paparazzi, but there were no photos from inside. it looked like Kate was wearing this wild kind of like hot pink frilly, you could only see the like very, very top of the shoulder strap. But it's kind of crazy to me, no one leaks photos from this thing. Like, do they like check cell phones at the door? Like, how do they do that?
I know, that is pretty, pretty amazing. You mentioned though that someone, there was some sort of magic trick.
Yeah, this is sort of, to me, like, should have been the only thing everyone was talking about related to this party. So the Daily Mail's Richard Kay, who's like one of these columnists, wrote a recap of the party. I'm not really sure who his source was. Maybe it was Prince George. And he was explaining what went on at this party where there's no photographs, except for, I think, one of Charles and Camilla. And it said that Prince Edward, who styles himself as the magical bisector, stepped up to perform a classic illusion at his brother's lavish 70th birthday party. His partner, who clambered willingly, if a little nervously, into a wooden box, was Princess Anne's son and Charles's nephew, Peter Phillips,
what?
Whose 41st birthday was the following day. Many a royal heart was in mouth as the pair, with Edward brandishing a handsaw, stepped onto the stage for the highlight of a riotous and joyful celebration at Buckingham Palace. And that's all that's said. They never say more about like how the trick went down or anything like that. They just let you know that Edward sawed in half Charles's nephew as part of some trick. And the Daily Mail put together a phenomenal photo illustration. It's kind of amazing, and the caption is great. I came, I sawed, I conquered. How Edward and victim Peter Phillips might have looked.
That is incredible.
Julie, I'm sending you the image right now. Everyone will get to hear her live reaction to this visual.
What?
I don't know. Did you know Prince Edward was known to be a magician on the side?
No. And again, this just further bolsters my want for this behind-the-scenes documentary about how the Daily Mail does their magic.
Their magic about magic or whatever. Yeah.
I have never seen such a loving, like, artfully done Daily Mail illustration. This is really incredible. Wow.
Oh, and then one of the other details I should note, because this didn't get a lot of pickup that I saw, was that I guess Harry and Meghan did not stay for the dancing portion. They excused themselves right after the dinner was done.
That seems kind of cold, right?
Well, I thought it was interesting for like your dad's 70th.
Right.
Like, I get that she's like not going to want to stay out all night, but I thought that seemed a little surprising.
Also, after they just got back from, what, like a 3-week tour extravaganza down under, where they were doing probably like 20 hours a day worth of appearances?
I know. A little odd.
Well, I wonder if that has anything to do with the report last week from the, wasn't that the same author who wrote about Prince Charles was shadowing Prince Charles, and then he confirmed that what Meghan wants, Meghan gets, quote, from Harry during the lead up to the wedding. Do you think there's...
Potentially.
Since Charles kind of sanctioned that quote.
That may be Charles. Is like there's something. Well, yeah, but it's, but it's always confusing. Is like you always get such conflicting things, because then I feel like in the big Hurricane Meghan one, they were saying, oh, Charles and Meghan are so tight. Like they've bonded over like all these different things and like the family friction and this and that.
I don't know. If anyone has any more intel about the magic trick, about Melissa, about... If you've read that book from Meghan Markle's friend, please let us know.
Or the Prince Charles book.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
After that feast of a Meghan, I guess, Thanksgiving extravaganza, our dessert for the episode is going to be touching in with Princess Beatrice. She has a new boyfriend. I've been wondering what Princess Beatrice has been up to ever since she read that Great Gatsby reading at her sister's wedding, and it turns out that she is dating a multimillionaire property tycoon named Eduardo Mapelli Mozzi. And that isn't even the most surprising biographical detail about him. Josh, do you want to go for it?
The Sun notes that he is the stepson of a late friend of a former prime minister. The sentence just takes unexpected turn after unexpected turn, which is fancy.
That's part of the sentence.
Oh, okay. I was like, did Julie add this in?
No.
And he's 34. Included in the Sun's Who is Eduardo Mapelli Mozzi post is the fact that he is a divorcee. He has a 2-year-old son named Wolfie, and he specializes in, quote, discreetly funding and developing multi-million pound homes for rich clients. Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
I mean, I love that for her. I feel like he seems great.
He does seem great. Apparently, they've only been dating for 2 months, but he's already been introduced to the family. Can you imagine bringing your wealthy boyfriend home, or you being that wealthy boyfriend, and you're there to meet your girlfriend's mother, and it's Fergie?
I feel like in general, when you just saw Eugenie's wedding, too, it's like, and how over the top it was, that I don't know, just something about meeting her and knowing you're getting that wedding, it's just kind of weird. It's like dating a celebrity, but you're like, you know, you're getting that whole wedding to go along with it. It's just like so much,
right? But I love that this is kind of a untraditional match. I love that he is a kid. I love that the kid's
Wolfie.
Name is Wolfie.
And like, will Wolfie, if they get married, be one of the page boys with Prince George and such?
Oh my God. I would not put it past Fergie to do like a full on animal inclusive wedding.
But also a fun detail connected to this was that Beatrice was going to LA for some sort of business, maybe to have lunch with Julie. Who knows?
yes.
But she was spotted getting into an Uber at LAX, which
is exactly how I exit LAX, it should be noted. She like went to one of the little stations where you have to flag down the person. I love it so much. And she was carrying the same away suitcase that Josh and I both own.
Wait, this is crazy. Also, how does she not have like a black car, like a driver? I'm very surprised by all of this. Like with her own luggage, is this like a princesses are just like us thing? Like, did she know she was gonna get paparazzi? So it's like a relatable moment.
Right. I mean, that relatable moment worked for me.
Yeah.
Because I immediately sent Josh the link and we're talking about it now.
I just don't. Is it like a SponCon thing? Like, did Uber pay somehow for this? Probably not. Oh,
that would be genius.
But I guess that wouldn't be allowed in the royal family. I feel, though, as if she seems like a kind of normal, and so does Eugenie, too, but like, I kind of feel like it goes along with her brand a little bit.
As normal as you can be when you're dating a multimillionaire property developer and you read The Great Gatsby at your sister's wedding.
That was like televised globally. Do you think the Uber driver recognized her?
No. Because all the pictures are taken from someone. I don't know if it's a paparazzo. I don't know if it's just like one of us who was also waiting for our Uber X at that station. But she's like waving.
Big day for Uber today, because I also saw that Martha Stewart took her first Uber ever.
Oh my gosh. Where? What other details do you have?
Princesses Martha, like Uber is really just upping their class level. I don't know where she was going.
Well, congratulations, Uber, on this special achievement.
Yeah, this is exciting. I'm curious how this is all going to play out. And I feel like somehow I have a weird sense that this is going to be like turbocharged and we're going to be hearing about like a Beatrice engagement in like a month.
I hope so. I would love that. We need something else to look forward to.
Yeah, there's no royal weddings anytime soon. Oh, also, wait, Julie, do you think Meghan is going to celebrate Thanksgiving? Because last year she went to LA, I was reminded today, to hang out with her mom for Thanksgiving, but she's probably presumably going to stay in London. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving in London, but she has no engagements planned on Thursday. So people.com was wondering this morning whether or not she's going to do a turkey and the whole shebang or not.
I mean, if those assistants thought wedding stress was a lot, they have a lot in store for them, because I bet you those text message alerts are going to be up from 6 to like at least a dozen. They are going to be out grocery shopping. I think she's going to throw an elaborate Thanksgiving for Harry at least, right?
And I feel like maybe the Kate William crew will come over.
Right.
Maybe.
I think so.
Oh, I love it. Wait, remember that iconic Meghan turkey Instagram from, I guess it was a few
years
ago.
We have to post that again.
The years keep turning and we stay the same, looking at photos of Meghan with a turkey taken years ago. That does it for this week's episode of In the Limelight. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please remember to check us out on Apple Podcasts, rate, review, star, comment, all of that.
Yes, and now you can reach out to us with a voicemail. Please leave us one. We love hearing them. That number is 347-790-0966. Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm at J. Duboff. We are also on Instagram at In the Limelight Pod. This episode was edited and produced by Danielle Roth. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will talk to you next week. And until then,
no bad energy.